The man who sends the investor class diving for their tax shelters. Vic Smith.
So it appears that Mitch McConnell and the Republican leadership are going to follow the same path they took on the healthcare debacle and the fantastic failure that was. They are going to stick to their plans to ram through their tax plan with just 50 Republican votes and Mike Pence being the decider. And again, you got to ask the question, at what point do they not wake up and say, you know, there might be a couple of centrist Democrats that'd be willing to give the wealthy a handout at the expense of, you know, health care, at the expense of infrastructure, at the expense of social programs, education, you know, whatever. There might be a couple. Why not try? Nope, not even going to try. And we know the bad ideas are coming. More handouts for corporations and the very well-to-do and less for everyone else. And here to kind of give us some thoughts on what we may be seeing in the coming days, weeks, and months as the Republicans move forward with their tax scheme, I've asked our good friend Mark Price, labor economist with the Keystone Research Center, to come talk with us. Mark, thanks for taking time.
Rick, it's great to be here, and I'm trying to think about how to say I'm being effectively inundated by water. That's drowning, right?
I know. Yeah, absolutely. I got it. I like it. I like it. But here's the thing. I mean, you know, I look at this and I look at this story and go, you know, is it that they just don't listen, that they can't learn? Or is it that ideologically they just, you know, like two-year-olds fixated on the shiny thing? It's an obsession.
I think the key word there, two key words, shiny and obsession, right? You know, the whole end game here in the tax policy that's coming forward, and a lot of people thought this was also the end game in the healthcare battle, is really about money, right? And we have some early indications from, you know, it's hard to trust anything that comes out of the Trump White House, but, you know, estimates that have been done by folks like the Tax Policy Center, which is run by the Urban Institute in Brookings, they find that, you know, some of Trump's tax proposals, when you sort of add them all up, take a look, you're looking at the top 1% taking home anywhere from 50% to 60% of the benefits of his various ideas about taxes. And that's just the Trump plan. We also have in this mix Speaker Ryan, and the House has put forward a sort of a plan initially. Analysis of that plan suggests that as much as three-fourths of the benefits of all the various things that they had in mind would flow just to the top 1% of taxpayers. So I think shiny obsession, I mean, this is clearly being driven, and we're also seeing indications that outside groups, the Koch brothers of various groups, are aligning to sort of try to do their best to push through, you know, tax reform, with the key being, you know, to lower taxes on the top 1%.
Now, again, you come back to this, and it's like trickle down economics on steroids.
Yeah, and some really good steroids, to be sure, right? It's eliminating the inheritance tax, eliminating the alternative minimum tax, which is one of the few reasons that President Trump has had to pay taxes, at least that we know about. The alternative minimum tax, for your listeners who probably heard it on occasion before, it's a tax feature of the code that makes sure that the wealthiest taxpayers, who often have, you know, hundreds of accountants working for them because they are some of the wealthiest people on the planet, they're able to effectively pay less taxes than you or I, right? Than their secretaries often have to pay. And the alternative minimum tax was designed to sort of say, look, no matter how creative you are, you're going to pay at least a minimum amount of tax. And, you know, the Trump administration has proposed eliminating that. Again, sort of self-serving, but also ultimately bad for the economy at large.
Now, but we're told, and again, if you buy the trickle-down argument, which is if we give them all the money, if we give Trump and the 1% everything, give them 50 to 75% of the tax cuts, that eventually it flows back down to us, and we benefit from the rivers of gold and honey that will then come, and it will be great for everyone. It'll be tremendous, Mark.
Yeah, it will be amazing. You know, best ever, right? Thinking about the way in which our current politics work, you know, we already tried this, of course. We've in the great laboratory that is our society, we have been engaged in this effort now for more than three decades. And, you know, the end result is pretty clear. You know, it doesn't actually generate substantial new job growth. It certainly doesn't pay for itself. You end up blowing up deficits. And that actually is one of the features of both the Trump plan and the House plan, is that they do say, we're not going to increase the deficit, but, you know, the numbers just, again, they don't add up. You're giving large tax breaks to the top 1%, and they don't translate into either increased revenue or greater job growth. And, you know, we have lots of experience with the Bush tax cuts that illustrate that nothing wonderful happened in the overall economy. And actually, a lot of bad things happened. And you know, so we're replaying the game, but doesn't matter. Again, the shiny object, which is all that money going to those very wealthy interests, is too good to pass up, given the way in which, you know, Congress and the White House is structured right now.
I mean, it's one of those things where at what point do we, because look, I'm you know, a lot of the Trump voters, I'm sure, voted for him because, you know, the tax breaks were going to go to them. They thought we're taxed enough already, Mark. We need more tax cuts for us. And I think they went to the polls thinking that those tax cuts would be going to them, not more to the 1%. Because look, we've created the largest wealth class in the history of civilization. And as I've said a couple of times recently, not only do we have 400 billionaires to fill the Forbes 400, we've got 153 billionaires too poor to get on the list.
Right. Yeah. And you know, I think, again, people were sold a bill of goods. We've talked about this before. I think a lot of people were probably motivated more by anything else, that, you know, a large part of the political establishment of this country were just horrified at the thought of Donald Trump being president. They thought it was a nice idea to sort of send them someone that they couldn't absolutely stand to be around, and here we are. And he's pursuing not policies necessarily that are very populist, right?
And again, you look at the health care. But, you know, how much of this is his policy, and how much of this is just, you know, the Heritage Foundation and the right-wing machine producing stuff that he just... Because, look, I don't see him as a great thinker. I don't see him as a policy wonk. I don't see him someone who sweats any detail whatsoever. So, you know, I see him as a guy who's willing to take work for someone else and say, hey, I did my homework. Here it is.
I think that's essentially right. I mean, one of the great challenges, right, is in the last, you know, 7-8 months has been figuring out, you know, what do they mean and do they mean it? And that is a real challenge with the Trump White House. So I think certainly the eyes here are on Paul Ryan,
yeah.
I think the healthcare battle made it pretty clear that the Trump administration isn't where the action is in terms of getting the policy through. So then we're, you know, looking at Paul Ryan as the main source of these ideas. And, you know, he's been putting forward versions of, you know, eliminating the inheritance tax for years and, you know, cutting the corporate income tax rate. All these policies have been around, and that's, you know, that's what he's going to go for in the hopes that, unlike the healthcare battle, they'll be able to win this one.
Now, you're the smart guy here because you're the labor economist. You're the guy who did all the schooling and knows all the charts and the graphs and all of this stuff. I blame your profession for, you know, selling us this trickle down nonsense and all of the stuff that Paul Ryan is pushing. And look, we've seen the Ryan plans. He's, you know, the guy who was doing keg stands, dreaming about getting rid of Medicaid, which, you know, I don't know what school he went to, kind of bizarre to me, but is what it is. You know, even on paper, does this stuff even work?
No, it does not work on paper. You know, as I said, the Urban Institute Tax Policy Center, at Brookings, you know, they make it very clear that there is no set of assumptions that will get you to the promised land of these tax policies either balancing or generating economic growth or generating revenue to pay for themselves. And they are highly regressive, right? They deliver most of the benefits to the very wealthiest. So there is no framework in which this works. And I think you're right. It's certainly the case that my profession, the economists of the world, have certainly played a very powerful role in facilitating how we got here, right? We are effectively now even having numbers and you know, having a plan that balances is not as important as it should be.
I mean, because I look at this, and again, you know, the wasted, you want to talk about waste, fraud, and abuse? Waste, fraud, and abuse is giving the billionaire class more for them to hoard, especially offshore. It just seems like there are smart things we could be doing that we're just not going to.
No, I think that's absolutely right. And the key challenge, right, if you were really focused on the U.S. economy and on what we need more jobs, right? And we need them now, and they need to be good jobs. Those are the key challenges that you can find across Republican and Democratic voters. That's what people want, a good job.
So why aren't we going after an infrastructure bill? I mean, that would be, to me, that would have been the first thing I would have done.
Well, Rick, when you're president, you know, I will make that happen for you. But I think it comes back to, again, you know, those wonderful two words you used, right? Shiny and obsession. And they are very obsessed and very focused on the shiny object that is a big tax cut for, again, as you said, the billionaire class. And we're seeing clear indications that there's organizing going on from the chamber down to, again, the Koch brothers, with the intent of making sure that this happens, right? I mean, so the focus isn't on making the U.S. economy more effective, more competitive, making the economy produce better jobs or more jobs. The focus is purely on what can we get out of this exchange through cutting taxes on the wealthiest 1%.
Yeah, the hooray for me and the hell with everybody else.
So I think that's absolutely right.
So last question I've got for you, because, you know, yesterday we talked about the healthcare thing, which was, you know, got everybody, it touched everyone. And there was, you know, a lot of people, the resistance, a lot of people making phone calls, a lot of people in the streets, all of this stuff, you know, tax policy. I don't know that it's all that sexy, all that exciting. And I don't know that people really, you know, have that visceral kind of reaction. You know, is there a way you think people can stop the horrible that we know is coming?
You just expressed my greatest and deepest fear right now, because you're absolutely right. Tax policy, you know, even your listeners right now are probably, he said the alternative minimum tax. What is he talking about? Or, you know, there were previous versions of the border adjustment tax. This is not stuff that's easy. It's not compelling. And it's not also immediately obvious, even like in the way that a health care repeal is. So I think we're going to have a real problem in the sense that the other side's very energized, and energized in the sense they got money, right? And they're putting a lot of money into this. The people on the streets, I'm a bit more concerned, because this is a harder sell than health care. Health care, most people get. The tax code is a difficult lift. So I think we are in a lot of trouble, and that's what their hope is, right? Their hope is they should have focused on this in the first place, because this is going to be the easier lift for them.
Yeah. At the end of the day,
we're in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, the simple bumper sticker is more for them, less for us. It's that simple.
Yeah. That's absolutely right.
There you go. Mark, I appreciate the time. Always great having you on.
Hey, great to be here, Rick, and I hope neither of us are inundated anytime soon.
There you go. Mark Price, labor economist there at the Keystone Research Center. If you want to check out their website, we'll get a link at therickSmithShow.com. Quick break, right back. Stick around. This is The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Union man, brother firefighters, my friend. And the kids locked in the Capitol are fighting till the end. And we're not gonna break tonight, and we're not gonna bend. Some say the union's down, but I asked around, and everybody said, this is a union town, all down the line. This is a union town, all down the line. And if they come to strip our rights away, we'll give them hell every time. This is a union town, all down the line.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg.